Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amos was a prophet in the 8th century BCE. And if you remember your Old Testament history, that was the time when the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. Amos lived in Judah, the southern kingdom, which is where Jerusalem was, and the northern kingdom was called Israel. The king in Israel was King Jeroboam, and he is one of those bad guy kings of the Old Testament. He expanded the territory of Israel and lived in a very wealthy and extravagant court. During his time, the rich got richer and the poor got poorer, and there was rampant injustice in the land of Israel. Amos was a shepherd and a fig tree farmer, and God came to Amos and called him to come into the northern kingdom of Israel to be a prophet. So Amos went across the border. He came to a place called Bethel. And he begins to speak God's punishment against the other nations. And you can imagine at a time if there's some border dispute, a lot of these nations around, or there's some enmity, right? So he's getting the people in. For 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4, I will not revoke punishment. And he goes through the nations around Damascus, Edom, Moab, Tyre. For 3 transgressions and for 4, I will not revoke punishment. But if you see on that left slide there, the circle eventually comes around and then he brings it home. For 3 transgressions of Israel and for 4, I will not revoke punishment, says the Lord. It brings it home. And he goes on to name the injustice, the poverty that is rampant, the people who are hungry, and most especially that they are practicing debt slavery. We might think indentured servitude or human trafficking, the exploitation of labor of people who go into debt and then are exploited. And Amos says to these people of ancient Israel, is this the family that was once denied justice and enslaved in Egypt? Are you the people that God freed from slavery in Egypt, and now you turn around and enslave your neighbors? And so he rails against this injustice that is happening in Israel. And then we get to today's readings, and finally God says, I despise your festivals. That line about your burnt offerings, I will not accept. Your burnt offerings, I will not smell them. I hold my nose at you. I cover my ears at your songs. God is in a righteous snit here. He is not going to have it from these Israelites. Now remember that there is nothing wrong with the worship that they are doing. Sometimes, as Christians, we do this thing where, like, the Israelite worship, they were doing it wrong, and when we got Jesus, we do it right. They were doing the worship commanded by God, given by God to form their faith, their trust in God. And so they had festivals like Passover, where they gather, and still Passover celebrated, to gather to remember God saving the people from slavery in Egypt. And each generation saying, I was a slave in Egypt and God set me free, still a part of the Passover celebration. The festival of booths or tabernacles, remembering the 40 years in the wilderness when God provided for the people. They remember being fed daily from manna, God bringing water from the stone. And so the festival of booths is a reminder that they can continue to trust in God, as well as a reminder of the resilience of the Hebrew people. And there are more festivals. They have festivals of thanksgiving for harvest. They have Day of Atonement where they can have forgiveness and right relationship with God, right? And all these things form their relationship with God, or are intended to, and all are commanded by God. So the problem is not the worship, but the problem is offering the worship without doing justice. This theme of God rejecting worship due to injustice goes through a number of prophets, right? Perhaps you remember in Isaiah, early in the book of Isaiah, or in Micah, God rejects the worship saying, "What do I want from you? What I want is that you do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God," right? From Micah, those words. So this is a theme throughout the prophets. And here Isaiah or Amos says, "Let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Justice and righteousness. These two ideas are paired throughout Scripture. And it, referring to a restorative justice, a action that makes reconciliation and right relationship between peoples. And so Israel has separated that from their worship life, right? So they can do a Passover celebration and they can say, "I was enslaved and God set me free," and then turn around and enslave their neighbors. That's not it. Justice and righteousness, like mercy and grace and steadfast love, are gifts from God. God has given Israel a way to live in which everyone flourishes. All those laws, all those codes that set Israel apart as the people of God are also set a tone for living where everyone has enough, where there is justice and relationship, even with the resident alien in the land, right? That's included in all those laws. When refugees come through, remember that you and Abraham have been a refugee, and that is part of your justice work. Instead, in this ancient Israel, we have the privilege of putting on beautiful worship. We can imagine, right? The music, the sounds, the beauty. They have extravagant festivals, I'm sure, amazing food, while part of the community is excluded and living in poverty and doesn't have enough to eat. And God won't have it. This fall, the theme of our giving campaign is abundant life. We begin with that idea of God's gift to us, the abundant life that we have in God's mercy and love and salvation. We remember the abundant blessings God gives us in all of our resources in this community. Look around you, the beautiful space, the amazing music that we have, the ministries, if you walk the halls, all the things that we do in the community. But especially, look around at one another, the people on Zoom. That is our abundant life, all the people who gather here to walk the good road from above together. But we also remember that abundance is not genuine abundance unless and until it is shared by all. We don't get to sit in our abundance and say, "Well, glad God blesses us and we're not them." Unfortunately, too many people do that. But we know that that abundance, those blessings from God are meant to be shared, to we are meant to share what we have, to lift our voices in advocacy on behalf of other people. We know that those sins of ancient Israel did not stay back in those times. We too have the rich getting richer while the poor get poorer, and it's harder and harder to simply make a living wage with basic work. Right? We know that human trafficking is going on. I'm doing the Citizens Police Academy for my work as an APD chaplain, and a few weeks ago we had a whole presentation on human trafficking, both for labor and for sex, that is in our city, in our state, as well as around the world. So those things are right here in our community. And it is part of our call as beloved, blessed people of God to be out there working for justice and compassion in our city. I heard a story this week that reminded me of what justice can look like. It begins with a group called Weaving for Justice, which is in Las Cruces. And this organization partners with women in Mayan women in the Chiapas area of Mexico. And these women weave beautiful housewares and clothing, and weaving for justice helps to get their things and sell them here in fair trade. We've talked about fair trade with our coffee, right? This is fair trade crafts, that if you take that middleman out, you can pay these women what is actually living wage for their handicrafts that they do. So one time a donor in the U.S. Came to one of the organizers of this program, Christine Eber, and said, I would like to sponsor a young person from Chiapas, bring them to the United States, give them an education. They could get an American college degree and, you know, really help them get ahead in life. And so Christine went to the people in Chiapas, and they said, no, we don't want to send one of our young people to go become a good American. We want to educate our people to be here. We want to be empowered to live in our culture and speak our language and keep our land. And so instead, Weaving for Justice has partnered with the Maya Educational Foundation, which provides scholarships for the Mayan students to study in Belize, Guatemala, and there in Chiapas. They stay within their language and culture. They stay with their ability to live in and maintain that culture. And Weaving for Justice says this work that they do, the fair trade and the education, they do in part to resist the corporations that would love to come and buy up that land and build a bunch of factories and use these Mayan people for cheap labor, right? How many times have we seen that around the world? And so trying to enable this group of people, this indigenous people, to live in their home and live in their way of life, that is an amazing act of justice. Thursday night, a small group of us gathered in the library here to listen to a presentation on land acknowledgement and land back. It was offered by Vance Black Fox, who's the Director of Indigenous Ministries and Tribal Relations. And it's part of the whole truth and healing movement that we've been talking about for about 6 months here, that the ELCA is partnering with Indigenous peoples. He talked about the importance of land acknowledgement as a first step. He said, for you settler cultures, it's probably the only 30 seconds in a week that you think about Indigenous peoples. Now, here in New Mexico, maybe we do a little better than that, but he said it's an important first step. It's valuable to just bring to mind these communities. And then we have to do next steps, right? So what are steps 2, 3, 4, and 5? And he talked about another step that the ELCA is working on in the Indigenous Ministries office is this idea of land back. Some years ago, a congregation in Denver had to close their doors. And as they were planning for what they would do with their property, they were in touch with an organization, Native American organization in Denver that worked with the urban population of Indigenous people in Denver. And they gave the whole building and the land to this organization to do their work of all the different things, you know, home and housing and all the things that they did with the Native population there in Denver. And there are some 5 or 6 synods now that are talking with the Indigenous Ministries office about that idea of land back. If we have a congregation or a camp that closes, if we have a donation of land to the synod, is it feasible, is it helpful to give that land back to the Native peoples who are in that area on that land? This too is work of justice and righteousness, working to restore a right relationship with our Indigenous siblings in North America. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. As followers of the good road from above, we take those words to heart, not out of fear or of judgment or destruction, but out of love, in response to God's abundant love and grace. Friends, we are assured of our salvation. We don't fear the day of the Lord. We have experienced God's abundant love, and now it is our turn to share that love in the world. We come to worship, to be fed by music and prayer and word. We come to the altar as Jesus commanded, to receive God's love made tangible. And then, being forgiven and loved and fed, we engage in the work of making God's love tangible for the people out there who need it, for our neighbors near and far. As we experience abundant life in God, we commit ourselves to the vision of Amos, to let justice roll down like waters and righteousness as an ever-flowing stream. May it be so. Amen.